This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It may be shocking but true, there are an estimated 385 babies, 185,000 babies born in the world each and every day. 385,000. That means there are a lot of moms-to-be out there, or multiplied-to-be, with more children all over the world. But it's true also where you live. It's true where we live. It's true all over the United States of America. And children are proliferating, but not at the same rate that they used to. Why is that? Well, because we have decided to be a little more selfish about children. We've decided to limit the number of children, in fact, so much so that in the entire Western world, in Europe and the United States of America, child births are not sufficient to keep up, to resupply those countries, and the countries are diminishing rapidly. Did you know that? Well, they are. And so maybe we need some more mommies out there, some more moms. And we're going to be talking about moms here today, and by implication, we'll be talking about dads, because in reality, the kids that we have are not ours. We are actually delegated by God, entrusted to take care of the kids that he lends to us. We have a responsibility before God. It's not just a matter of giving birth. It's just not a matter of, I wanted a small family, or I wanted a big family, or something like that. No, it's that God gives us our children, and we don't want to prevent God from giving us our children. And so a lot of us have done that over the past 60, 70 years. Ever since birth control entered the scene, and abortion became a thing, it seems that children have become less and less important in America, and yes, even around the world. On the other hand, there are many situations in families, even Christian families, where we have children, we try to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they don't follow the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but they follow other pathways, at least for a period of time. Some of them become virtual prodigals, prodigal sons, prodigal daughters, and we find ourselves almost wringing our hands, pulling out our hair because of our concern about these kids. And that problem is multiplying all over the country. It's multiplying even among professing Christians. My wife attends a prayer gathering every month with a number of women. And the number one thing they seem to pray about is their errant kids. It's heartrending. But just think how God feels about it. Just think how God, who allows us to have these children, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to prepare them to be his sons and daughters and servants, just think how he feels when his children go prodigal. Maybe you've even gone prodigal during your life. But today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about the parents' battle plan, warfare strategies to win back our prodigals. We're also going to be talking about a daily battle plan to fight for your child. And our special guest today, Lane Kraft, is joining us. She joined us about a month ago. We had quite a warm and energetic conversation together. And so we decided to talk again as we approach Mother's Day here in 2025. Before we do, let me just introduce motherhood in a little bit different way by some very special quotations. Mother love is dangerous. Well, it's dangerous when it becomes smother love. And there are a lot of moms out there that smother their kids in the name of love. Not actually a good thing. Aren't you glad that God doesn't smother you as a father? All mothers are physically handicapped because they have only two hands. And I have watched how mothers try to deal with their young kids, and you wonder, no wonder God gives kids to women when they're young. The quickest way for a mother to get her children's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. But through the ages, no nation has ever had a better friend than the mother who taught her children to pray. Joining us today on Viewpoint again, Lane Craft, with her book, The Parent's Battle Plan. She says, no matter what we're facing with our kids, there is one fact to which we can cling during the lowest times of chaos. Our children belong to God before they were lent to us. You really believe that, Lane?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me back for this special Mother's Day edition. This is exciting.
Well, go ahead. Yes. How many children do you have, Lane?
Yes, I have three children, two boys and a girl, and the girl is the baby.
Oh, okay. Did you baby her?
I did. And I got a lot of flack about it.
Oh, okay.
They're different, Mama, and I'd go, yes, I do.
Would you agree with the statement that simply having children does not necessarily make a woman a mother?
Well, I think anytime a woman carries a child and brings them into the world, she knows that that's a miracle. I don't know where they are in their faith walk, but, you know, you cannot go through that experience and not realize that there's something supernatural about the whole process.
But then it requires that you respond as if that were true. And that's where the problem of whether you're really a mother or not comes in, isn't it?
It is. It is. I think, like you mentioned, we are changing the way we look at families, and we are absolutely changing perspectives on what mothers are. It's really kind of a sad state, if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking back as I was getting ready for our program here today. I was thinking back about my own experience in our household. There were five children. I was the oldest of five, three boys and two girls. And my father was a pastor, and we moved rather frequently because in those days, churches had the idea, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. And they didn't believe about having a pastor who was in a church more than 2 years because they didn't want a pastor to get too familiar with the people. That was the theory at that time. So we had quite an experience. My mother had quite an experience raising us as kids, five of us, as we were in different places across the country. But one of the things that has stood out to me more than anything else is that my mother taught us as kids at mealtime, no matter whether my father could be there or not, to memorize scripture. And those passages, many of those passages that I learned when I was 6, 7, 8, 10 years of age, are passages I remember with specificity to this day where I first learned them at the knees of my mother. We'll be right back, friends. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. We need to continue that story just briefly to lay a foundation for the balance of our program here today with our special guest, Lane Craft. Even though all five of us kids were raised in that environment, taught the scriptures, went to church at least two or three times a week, learned all the songs of Christian history, still, two of the five abdicated Christ as Savior. Two of the five became prodigals. How in the world can you explain such a thing? I remember the story of an attorney who was drafting the will for my mother and father in their later years, and she wanted to find a way somehow through the money to draw back one of the children, one of the sons, back into the fold. And the attorney said to her, "There is no way that money will draw him back." And she broke down and wept bitterly. A mother's weeping. That's the problem that we have today, isn't it, Lane? We have a lot of moms and dads who are weeping bitterly because their kids have gone prodigal.
Absolutely. You know, my heart this week, as we face Mother's Day, as I felt a real unction that there are a lot of mamas, and I'm calling it a heavy heart this week. They're estranged from their prodigal, or they feel like they're at the end of the rope with the child that's living under their roof. Because, again, you and I both know the challenges and the lures are so great in 2025 against our children.
Yeah.
Technology and the internet, you know, they're just, and hey, like you said, with just our political climate and even our educational situation, parents are being usurped in so many ways.
Yeah. Well, God has always had a purpose for us and for our kids in their lives. As he said in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." But for some reason, our kids don't seem to comprehend that, and they lose sight of everything that they were trained to follow, notwithstanding a righteous and holy environment full of love and compassion. Why do you think that is?
Well, I have to go back to some of the statistics we're looking at. The family dynamics have changed. I think the latest Barna research said that, you know, Christian marriages are failing at the same pace as the secular world.
Just about, yes.
So, you know, we can't expect our kids to have this supernatural experience if we haven't provided that at home, right?
So, well, that's true. But then when you do provide it at home and they still don't respond, or for a while they respond and then kick over the traces and go prodigal, what do you do?
Yeah, well, you know, I first and foremost thought I could fight it in the natural at the onset of these journeys my children took. But about, a year or two into it and realizing I was literally losing the battle, an aha moment came, and I realized in a deep way that I was facing a spiritual battle over my children.
Right.
As we read in John 10:10, you know, it says the enemy comes out to seek, kill, and destroy. And there's nothing new under the sun, our scriptures tell us, but the enemy is using all these new technological ways and the entertainment and the culture in itself just to numb our children and to put large hurdles in their destinies so that, their life is full of consequences from their sin. So my first and foremost thing to a mama right now that may be listening and is heavy-hearted, I would say, listen, first and foremost, are you praying for your child? Sometimes, you know, just that question spurs them to say, maybe I'm not praying as often, you know. And then I think the second part of that would be when you do pray, it's a war cry to the heavens. And so I add the blood of Christ. I think we have, again, forgotten the power of the knowledge and wisdom and recognition of the blood of Christ and the cross. So I began to pray personally for all three of my children with a blood-soaked paintbrush in my mind at the cross, and I would paint a cross on the back of each one of their backs and say, "Father God, in the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ, please protect them, and give them your wisdom.
Mm. And yet you have to sow those seeds continually. A lot of parents are so busy in our hurry-up world. Like they said back in the 70s, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. And
yes,
the idea of working mothers, in fact, somebody said that whole idea of a working mother is kind of a strange phrase, because if you're a true mother, you're working. It's a full-time job. So the whole idea of having a working mother outside is putting a strain on the relationship that God had entrusted you with there in the home, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that was the beginning. I think that was the domino that began the sad, you know, demolishment of, you know, what God, I think, truly intended. And that was for the dad to be the provider and the mom the nurturer, and to, you know, create a family that was centered in his word and in his love for us.
Yeah. Well, friends, I want to make available to you Lane's. She has a pair of books that go hand in hand here. The first is called The Parent's Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal. $13, we'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. And then the second one goes along with it, called Warfare Parenting, A Daily Battle Plan to Fight for Your Child. Tell us what's in the second book, Warfare Parenting, Lane.
Yes, well, we found that the Parent's Battle Plan gave them the strategies, and there's questions at the end of every chapter. And,
mm-hmm.
and actually, you can go to my website and get the first chapter free. But what we found is, in the battle, you get weak, you get weary. We call it the meantime. And I was reading through the Bible from cover to cover one year recently, and I just heard the unction from the Lord just pull out a scripture every day that I was reading my daily reading for a parent that was actually in the battle. And so it's a very special book, because every day just guarantees you, it empowers you, it equips you, and it empathizes through God's love where you are in the battle, and to give you the hope and the strength to know your victory is coming.
Well, we need to know a victory is coming. And Jesus himself, even though he came to redeem the world, he cried over Jerusalem. And just before his crucifixion, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou the persecutest of the prophets, how I would have gathered you like a chicken gathers its chicklets under its wings, but you would not." In other words, he kind of almost analogized himself to a mother in the form of a chicken that wanted to gather the chicklets under him, but he lamented over Jerusalem, over the very people that he came to touch. And it appears that Jesus felt a mom's pain, didn't he?
Yes. Yes. You know, again, as mamas and daddies, when we have these children, whether we birth them or adopt them, you know, we bring them home and we have all these expectations. Oh, they're going to be a doctor, or they're going to be a teacher. We certainly don't have the expectation and dreams that they would end up, you know, addicted or in a lifestyle that is totally incongruent to how you raise them and your faith. And so, yes, I very much, you know, as we're talking about heavy hearts at Mother's Day, where there's mothers out there that Mother's Day won't be a celebration because they have a child that has chosen to do, you know, wrong things and or may just be challenged with some mental health issues and that, you know, the mother cannot control.
Right.
And so, it's very sad. It's very sad. But again, those prayers, just as Jesus showed us, is our hope.
Well, even Charles Dickens made a very interesting statement. He said, "I think it must be somewhere written that the virtues of mothers shall be visited on their children as well as the sins of their fathers." It's a very interesting phrase, and I'm thinking that with Mother's Day in the offing here, this pair of books may be a great gift that a father could give to the mother of his children, the parent's battle plan, warfare strategies to win back your prodigal, and then also warfare parenting, a daily battle plan to fight for your child. The second book is a daily thing to renew your mind and your heart and be encouraged every day. $14 will put that in your hands. And then the parent's battle plan, warfare strategies to win back your prodigal, $13, a total of $27. And for the two of them, if you're interested in both of them, and then if you get both of them, it'll be $8 postage and handling for the two. Otherwise, it's $6 for one. Go to the website, saveus.org. Go to the website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Okay, you were going to make a comment there, Lane?
Yes, I was just going to say a lot of the comments that you'll see in the reviews are just how beautiful both of the books are, but specifically the daily one, Warfare Parenting. It's just a beautiful white leather.
Right.
You know, it's just something that you can keep out, drink your coffee with, or put in your purse. It's a wonderful gift item.
Or right there on the table beside your bed at night, Warfare Parenting, a daily battle plan to fight for your child. I'm looking there. God has equipped you. This was for April 16th. Are you feeling ill-equipped for the challenges you're facing today with your child? Today's great news is found in Psalm 18:39. You equipped me with the strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. This verse proves that God has already equipped you with strength and victory in your struggles. As parents, we often face our own battles, especially as we try to guide our lost children. And there's more to it than that. But each day has its own specific nurturing admonition and encouragement for that day in the book Warfare Parenting. And so it's something that you might want to get a copy of. And here is the one for today, Guardian Duty. Do you ever feel like you're on a solo mission, battling for your child's soul in a seemingly silent universe? See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So, encouragement for moms. And we want to urge you to get a copy of that. Now, Lane, you what prompted you initially to write these books?
Yes, so I was a Christian mom that had been touched by God by my marriage being resurrected 17 years into it. And once that happened, I was never the same, and I just felt the Lord asking me to leave the secular world where I had my own business to start helping other women see that God is real and moving. And the reason I mentioned that is because when my children were in their dark journeys, under the lure of the darkness of the world, I was publishing a magazine, a Christian faith-based magazine, and it was in every bookstore in America and Canada, and it had wonderful covers of people with Dolly Parton and the Duck Dynasty group and all of these people that were famous, but they always gave faith a part of their testimony.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, that is why I wrote the book, because back in the day, I was that mom who loved the Lord, who served the Lord, but my three children were just in a struggle against many different things, addictions.
All three of them?
All three.
In different ways?
In different ways, yes.
Any that connected with the drug problem?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
So, that's a tough one.
You know? It is. And, you know, just what you were reading out of that devotion there today was there's such a sense of shame and isolation as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly if you love the Lord and you're serving Him. And I was doing it on a national platform. So it was certainly embarrassing,
yep.
You know, that, you know, one of my kids, you know, is addicted or one of my kids.
Well, tell me about it. I can understand that greatly. I've got 10 grandchildren. Not just three daughters, but 10 grandchildren. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. Before children trust the father headship of God, they experience the mother heart of God. That is a quote from yours truly. Before children trust the father headship of God, they experience the mother heart of God. So, moms, are your kids experiencing the mother heart of God? Have they been experiencing that? And if not, what are you going to do about it? You say, well, maybe it's way too late. Maybe my kids are, of age and it's just way too late. But maybe it's not. Maybe, just maybe, it's the opportunity of a lifetime for you to go before them and indicate how maybe you weren't the mother heart of God and how God has been working on your heart. Ask them to forgive you. That might be something you might want to do. Because every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that true, Lane?
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I think probably the greatest thing that I did with all three of my kids at the different stages and phases where they were is I did each one say, I'm sorry. And what I mean by that is I would say, I'm sorry that we're here. I'm sorry that we're having to go through this and finding a new way to have conversations and communication. I didn't say I'm sorry for standing up, for knowing they were really making so many self-destructive choices. And one of my children really was at a place where if he made one or two more wrong choices, it was way out of my control, and the law would have come in and enforced their consequences.
In other words, way beyond your pay grade.
Way beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, yeah. And kids don't realize that mom and dad aren't always going to be there in order to save them from their troubles. When they go too far, they've now exposed themselves to another authority base, and that ain't going to be too pleasant.
Absolutely, and I think that's so powerful you mentioned that, because that's the first time we really realized there's a court system out there, and we don't have any part of it. You are truly at the mercy of the judge.
Well, you're at the mercy of the judge. You're at the mercy of the entire system, and once the system takes over, you have no idea of the twists and turns that it's going to take and the ultimate effect on your life and on your kids.
Correct. And, it's as broken as anything else. That system,
exactly.
Our judicial system, is so liberal and so upside down that you certainly hate it when your child may end up before a judge in that situation.
Well, that's right. And what I have discovered, and I practiced law for 20 years, 40% of my practice was in family law in the largest family law court system in the country, the Los Angeles Superior Court System. And what I discovered is that once you're accused, for instance, of failure to protect, raise your children, accused of child abuse, child neglect, or whatever it is, once that happens, it's totally out of your reach now. And when the Department of Children's Services take over, the family almost always breaks up. They're one of the greatest engines for breaking up families that I know. because they always default with this phrase. Well, we're going to err on the side of caution. And the side of caution has nothing to do with truth. It has nothing to do with righteousness. It has nothing to do with preserving the family. It has everything to do with children ruling the household. That's the view of children's services across the country. It's very dangerous. Don't let it happen to you. And if it does, please be aware that that is the spirit that lurks across this country. It is a very liberal spirit that says the government really owns your children.
That's right.
If you don't realize God is the one who delegated those kids to you, then you've already placed yourself under the rule of the government, and that's a dangerous place to be.
Yes, and it's showing, as we see, the results are not very good, are they?
No, they're not good at all.
No. I don't know if you heard me say it's just a tragic day for the family, but bringing this awareness, particularly to mothers here at Mother's Day about having heavy hearts, you know, the louder this voice of hope and reason and really truth, you know, that is what we must get passionate about and stay consistent with.
Well, yeah. There's a Jewish proverb that says God could not be everywhere, so he made moms. God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. That's pretty good. So we need to honor our mothers and our fathers. The unfortunate thing today is mothers don't have very many children. Let's take a look at a few who did. For instance, Susanna Wesley, the wife of John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church, selected the Bible as the first book her children would ever read. She had studied Greek, Latin, French logic, and metaphysics herself. She taught her 10 children. Actually, she bore 19 kids, but only 10 survived infancy. And among them was John and Charles. While running an orphanage, she wasn't the wife of John Wesley. She was the mother of John Wesley. And so while running an orderly household, she would take each kid into the schoolroom where when he reached the age of 5 and teach him the alphabet. And from there, the child plunged into reading the Bible, starting with Genesis 1:1. She functions as a teacher from 9 a.m. to noon and from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. every day, tolerating no interruptions in her teaching schedule. Now, I don't know what it would be like for a mom to have 19 kids, but 10 survived, and that's a lot, isn't it?
It is.
And today, moms are screaming and hollering if they get 3.
Yeah, so true. You know, I say we are in a culture of busyness. I think we make a lot of choices in our day.
And selfishness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've become, you know, as the scriptures have prophesied and declared, a time of where we're lovers of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Our hearts have grown cold. Son against mother, daughter against mother-in-law. You know,
ooh,
it's crazy.
Absolutely. Now, that's scary.
It is.
And that's the time we live in. In fact, I wrote about that in my latest book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And moms need to prepare for that eventuality. Don't you think?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay, now, you've got these two wonderful books. The first is, shall we say, the battle plan Bible, so to speak, the parent's battle plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal. $13 will put it in your hands, friends, on the website saveus.org. Then the other one kind of goes along with it to encourage you day by day, all through the year, Warfare Parenting, a daily battle plan to fight for your child. That's $14, and the two of them will be $27, plus $8 postage and handling for the two of them together, otherwise $6 for each one individually. So go to the website, saveus.org, give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Okay, Lane, you're down there in Florida. What's the condition of motherhood in Florida?
Well, I think it's probably one of the greatest places to be a mother because we are encouraged to have faith here, and we're conservative. Our school systems run very well. We have a wonderful governor that is very into family.
Right.
You know, we just, it's a great place for a mother today.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to say. I assume that there are probably pockets in various places in Florida that has one of the largest populations in the country where it isn't quite that way. We have the same problem here in Virginia that used to be far more conservative and has become quite liberal. They say it's sort of more like a purple state today. California, where I spent 30 years, has obviously gone the wrong way, and family is in deep, deep trouble there in California. But there's an old play that said this: the mother in her office holds the key of the soul, and she it is who stamps the coin of character. Then crown her the queen of the world. She stamps the coin of character on a Christian man, and then crown her the queen of the world. That's an amazing thing for a mom. Stamps the coin of character on her child. How does a mom do that?
Well, I think it starts with the mother. I don't think you can give out what you don't already have inside.
Oh. So you might be a real character, but you're not stamping the character that God's calling you to stamp on your kids.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. You know, I used to have something on my refrigerator, and it said, "You can do what I do, see me do, and you can say what you hear me say." And that was a good litmus test for me because, you know, I think a lot of our culture today says this to our children, but we act in such a different ways, incongruent.
In other words, hypocritically.
Absolutely.
So the most powerful teaching tool that a mom or a dad has is to live consistently with what you say you believe.
Absolutely. Emulate what you know of God and Christ to follow.
I'm thinking of what happened in kindergarten. I can remember, believe it or not, I can remember back to kindergarten. I was in Michigan. And they had what they call show and tell time.
Yeah.
I think we need more show and tell in our homes. Don't just tell me, show me. We'll be right back after this with our special guest, Lane Kraft. Thanks for joining us, my friends. We're talking about mothers. We're talking to moms. And dads, you got a role to play with the moms.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
We're all familiar with the common phrase, like father, like son. But how about like mother, like daughter? Believe it or not, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44, you're going to find that's what it says. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Well, there's a lot of truth in that, but it's not absolute truth. because a daughter can deviate from mom. A son can deviate from his father's leadership. And even if the mother and the father are living a godly and holy life, modeling the truth, a child can still deviate. Am I stating the truth on that, Lane, or not?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's what's so painful.
It is. I was just going to say, that's the painful truth today. It is. It's very painful.
So, we had three daughters. The first was born in 1972, just 4 years after California introduced the No-Fault Divorce Act. Ever since then, things went south with regard to families. But we raised our daughter in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So clearly, both my wife and I did everything that we could to train her, to model the Christian faith for her, and to introduce her to the authority of the Word of God and the ways of the Lord. Then we had another daughter 4 years later. Then we had another daughter 2 years later than that. And each one of them is radically different in personality. So as the children are different in personality, so they respond differently to the very same upbringing, don't they?
Yes, very much so. I can tell you from my experience, I could look at one way, and it would absolutely crush them. Then I'd have to almost, you know, knock them in the head to somebody else. So I had to discipline them differently in, yeah, you know, in the approach.
Right, right. But there comes a point in time, you can have difference in personality, but then when that goes off to the extremes, that's when you start getting into the area of a prodigal, don't you?
Yes.
And that's what you've written about in the Parents Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal. What if a person, a mother, began to have her kids when she was not a believer, she was walking in the ways of the world, then becomes to Christ and has given her heart, her soul, her life to the Lord? What's the hope for that mother with regard to her kids? Perhaps the kids now are in their teenage years and they have not been modeled a Christian model by their mom. Now what?
Well, I think it could be the greatest testimony. You know, as I stated, my marriage, 17 years into it, found resurrection and, you know, totally changed the way that we had a relationship with Christ and God. So she could take that newfound life, you know, following Christ,
right,
and change their lives through her testimony and her living it out and them seeing the difference in her.
But that's going to take a little time, isn't it? Don't we need a lot of patience in order for that to be worked out?
I think so. But kids are so, if there's one thing about kids, they are gracious. They do have a lot of grace, particularly for their mom. You know, it's my mother used to do.
Are you telling me that us fathers and dads are just kind of left out with cruel and unusual punishment by our kids?
I knew that was coming. But, you know, it is unreal. You can look at these kids that have been abused, you know, burnt with cigarettes and things like that, and they cry out for that mother when they're taken away.
Right.
There's just something organic about that. So I think there's a lot of hope for that mother that has found Christ and has changed her life. And yes, it may take some time, and very well it may not, because the kids may actually see a kinder, more gentler, you know, some wonderful characteristics that you, the fruits of the Spirit that come with being a Christ follower.
So you're a mom and you've got kids that are errant to varying degrees. Maybe somebody is into drugs. Maybe somebody is into, has gotten caught in violence. Maybe somebody is addicted to alcohol. Maybe they've gotten involved in the sexual world and so on, all kinds of things. You never know. So what do you say to that mom when those things are pressing in upon her and she's beginning to feel like hope is lost?
Well, I was her. I was her for 15 plus years. So I just first want to say I empathize and I get it. And the first thing I would tell you is never lose hope. Stand in the gap. Stay strong. That's why, too, I penned these books, because I was once that mama who, in the meantime, was discouraged and disappointed and really didn't have a lot to lean upon. And I wanted to supply that to the mother today. You know, I was blessed. My kids were the first generation to get an iPhone. So, you know, I can't even imagine what a mother today must be battling as far as technology goes. It's frightening.
Well, yeah, an iPhone is really a me phone, which reminds me of a huge billboard about 15 years ago that I encountered coming out of the Chicago O'Hare Airport. It was a massive billboard, and all it said on it was me. And I thought, wow, if that isn't a declaration of the spirit of our age. And then, as if that's not enough, our kids are all taking selfies. So it's all about yourself. It's all about me. It's all about I. So these phrases, iPhone, it actually is a testimony to the selfishness that was prophesied for these end times, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, my husband still can't get over that Apple is an apple with the bite out of it.
Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
Wow. Sorry you had to remind me of that.
I know.
But we all need to be reminded of God's love. And interestingly, God identifies himself as a father. But when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit to be a comforter, to lead us into all truth. So it's like the Holy Spirit is like the mother affect of God, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
Leading us into all truth and comforting us and directing us, interjecting the direction for our lives. And moms just need to be doing that. And it seems to me that we need a lot of dads out there that are standing in the gap and willing to be true fathers, because moms can't do it all.
That's right. That's right. I think, again, you know, this is just another sign of the times. We have really limited and minimized the power of a father in kids' lives today.
You know, a number of years ago, I wrote a book called Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. And it was all about helping fathers gain a vision for true biblical fatherhood. Guess what? 2/3 of all of those books were purchased by women. Why do you think that was?
Yes, well, they're desperate for the husband or the father to stand in his place.
That's right, to be the spiritual leader in the home. Mom can only do so much, but she's a woman. She's a mother. And God has given responsibility for the man to be the head of the home. So,
have you seen the statistics of that? That if a mother goes to church, I think the child doing it in adulthood is like 18% or 20%. If the father is active and goes to church, it's like 60% or more.
It's amazing.
It's that different. Yes.
So it's unfortunate, but moms are given the short end of the stick right now because fathers have abandoned their role and their function. On the other hand, many women have actually participated in creating that situation because, believe it or not, the stats now for the past 5 years have been that women are taking the lead in divorcing their husbands and creating single parent homes.
Well, and that's if they get married. Now, remember, we've also got a statistic showing that under the age of 30, girls 30 and younger are having, you know, a third or more of our children in our country out of wedlock, and they don't even get married ever.
Right, cohabitation. So, in fact, that has become the leading form of so-called family life in America, if you can believe that.
Well, and if they even cohabitate. a lot of these just say, okay, we're pregnant, and yes, you're the dad, and we'll just figure this out, and don't even, you know, cohabitate. They don't even want a relationship.
Right. Yeah.
It's nuts.
It is. It's an amazing thing, and Satan's out there warfare to steal, kill, and destroy, kill, and destroy the very foundations of life and the family, which are supposed to be the model of Christ and His church. I'll tell
God's
you
order.
This. Yeah, exactly. This is tough stuff. So you have the parents' battle plan, warfare strategies to win back your prodigal. Lane Craft is the author. She's our guest today. $13 will put this book in your hands. We need all the help we can get, ladies and men. And Warfare Parenting, a daily battle plan to fight for your child. Again, this is a daily, like a daily devotional to encourage you. It's a beautiful little book. I got to hand it to you, Lane. And it's $14. You can get a copy of that by itself, or the Parents' Battle Plan by itself. $6 postage and handling, or you can get both for $27, $8 postage and handling. And, men, this might be a great gift for the mother of your children for Mother's Day. And I want to make another suggestion. Lane, I'm going to stick my neck out here. Do you think it might be a great gift to mothers out there if dads would give to themselves the book Hearts of the Fathers, How to Leave a Legacy That Lasts, as a testimony to the mom that they're going to get on board?
Yes, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Wouldn't that be something?
That to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. And I'll tell you, women would be thrilled if you do that and then tell them that's why you're doing it.
Yes.
I'm going to get on board. I had a dad just recently tell me that.
Yes.
And he's getting a copy of the book today.
Yes.
Hearts of the Fathers. It's a $23 book. Yours for $20, friends. It's a hardbound book. It'll cast a whole new vision for your life and for your wife. Wow. It's almost like a conspiracy here, isn't it, Lane?
It is, but I was trying to shout out, I believe revival is going to come through family.
It has to.
When we get back to the way God ordered and planned for us to exist as family.
Well, it's that Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, men are what their mothers made them. So that's a strong statement, but there's a lot of truth in it. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who had a godly mother. So there's so many of these wonderful, wonderful quotes out there that help us. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. That's another one that has been so famous. We need to remind ourselves of these things because, Mom, you are not without authority and power. The primary authority is with your husband, and that's why you're struggling so much with discipline if you don't have the man in the house. You're going to struggle with it because you're not a man. You may think, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters a lot. It matters a lot. Well, thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. We've had a free-for-all discussion here concerning this matter of motherhood and also the effect on fatherhood and lack of fatherhood on motherhood. Again, our guest book, The Parents' Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal, $13, and the daily encouragement book, Warfare Parenting, A Daily Plan to Fight for Your Child. All on our website, saveus.org. And become a partner, friends. Send those gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart. Yes, even today. Maybe especially today. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.